Small creatures, smart design. Insect anatomy. So how are they put together, these tiny creatures with whom we share our planet? The following section is a crash course in insect construction. It also shows that despite their modest size, insects can count, teach, and recognise both each other and us humans. Six legs, four wings, two antennae. What exactly is an insect? If you're in any doubt, a good rule of thumb is to start by counting legs, because most insects have six legs, all attached to the midsection of their body. The next step is to check whether the bug has wings. These are also on the midsection. Most insects have two pairs of wings, forewings and hind wings. You have now indirectly grasped one crucial hallmark of insects. Their bodies are divided into three. As one of many representatives of the phylum Arthropoda, insects are formed of many segments, although in their case, these have merged into three pretty clear and distinct sections: head, thorax, and abdomen. The old segments still appear as indentations or marks on the surface of many insects, as if somebody had cut them with a sharp implement. And in fact, that is what gave this class of animal its name. The word insect comes from the Latin verb insecare, meaning to cut into. The front segment, the head, isn't so unlike our own. It has both a mouth and the most important sense organs, eyes and antennae. While insects never have more than two antennae, their eyes can vary in number and type. And just so you know, insects don't necessarily only have eyes on their head. One species of swallowtail butterfly has eyes on its penis. These help the male to position himself correctly during mating. The female also has eyes on her rear end, which she uses to check she's laying her eggs in the right place. If the head is the insect's sensory centre, the midsection, the thorax, is the transport centre. This segment is dominated by the muscles needed to power the wings and legs. It's worth noting that unlike all other creatures that can fly or glide, birds, bats, flying squirrels, flying fish, insect wings are not repurposed arms or legs, but separate motor devices that supplement the legs. The abdomen, which is often the largest segment, is responsible for reproduction and also contains most of the insect's gut system. Gut waste is excreted at the rear, usually. The minute gall wasp larvae, which live out their larval existence in the completely closed structure the plant builds around them, are extremely well brought up. They know it's wrong to foul your own nest, and since they're trapped in a one-room flat without a toilet, they have no choice but to hold it in. Only once the larval stage is complete are the gut and the gut opening connected. Living in an invertebrate world. Insects are invertebrates, in other words, animals without a backbone, skeleton or bones. Instead, their skeleton is on the outside. A hard yet light exoskeleton protects the soft interior against collision and other external stresses. The outermost surface is covered in a layer of wax, which offers protection against every insect's greatest fear, dehydration. Despite their small size, insects have a large surface area relative to their tiny volume, meaning that they're at high risk of losing precious water molecules through evaporation, which would leave them as dead as dried fish. The wax layer is a crucial means of hanging on to every molecule of moisture. The same material that forms the skeleton around the body also protects the legs and wings. The legs are strong, hollow tubes with a number of joints that enable the insect to run and jump and do other fun things. But there are a few disadvantages to having your skeleton on the outside. How are you supposed to grow and expand if you're shut in like this? Imagine bread dough encased in medieval armour, expanding and rising until it has nowhere left to go. But insects have a solution. New armour, soft to start with, forms beneath the old. The old, rigid armour cracks open and the insect jumps out of its skin as casually as we'd shrug off a well-worn shirt. Now, it's crucial for the insect to literally inflate itself to make the new, soft armour as big as possible before it dries and hardens. Because once the new exoskeleton has hardened, the insect's potential for growth is determined until another molting paves the way for new opportunities. If you think this sounds tiring, it may be a consolation to hear that, with a few exceptions, the lengthy molting process only occurs in insects' early lives. Time of transformation. Insects come in two variants: those that change gradually through a series of moltings, and those that undergo an abrupt change in the process of developing from child to adult. This transformation is called a metamorphosis. The first type, for example dragonflies, grasshoppers, cockroaches and true bugs, gradually change in appearance as they grow, a bit like us humans, except that we don't have to shed our entire skin in order to flourish. For these insects, the childhood stage is known as the nymph stage. The nymphs grow, cast off their exoskeleton a few times, just how many times varies by species, but often 3 to 8 times, and become increasingly like the adult versions. Then, finally, the nymph molts one last time and crawls out of its used larval skin, equipped with functioning wings and sex organs. Voila! It has become an adult.